you are more than welcome to open your Bible in Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. The treat of life. You, just by the title, you know I'm making a, what is it called? A reference to our last couple of sermons, the bread of life. Do you remember the bread of life? So here is the treat of life. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. We're going to read all the way to verse 28. If you're ready, just say amen. Amen. Good. So let us read verse 21. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." Verse 24, he answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Yes, it is, Lord," she said. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that moment. Let us close our eyes. Lord Jesus, as we come to this rich passage of scriptures, an intriguing one, I pray that our eyes are open, we understand who you are, and we understand how great is the faith of this lady, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that after this sermon, after this service, you may say to us what you have said to her, that great is Emmanuel's faith. In Jesus' name, amen. So, church, can I have our next slide? Well, this wording is not that friendly. Okay, I'll read for us. Just as a matter of introduction, I made this simple for us. Hunger, honesty, and healing. H-H-H. This lady came to Jesus hungry. This lady came to Jesus honestly, and she got it. Her daughter was healed. And before we jump into this text, I want you to remember the context. Our last sermon, we talked about traditions. And this sermon here, Jesus is going to show you the opposite. Okay? What was the problem with traditions, church? The religious people of Israel, what they did, they raised a wall. Now people cannot come to God. Why? Because you need to wash. Because you need to do this. Because you need to do that. God is near. It's his own people. And the religious leaders raised the wall. And the people cannot come to God because of their traditions. Now, Jesus is in a foreign land. Here, church, there is not a virtual wall, not a tradition wall. Here, there is a real wall. They are pagans. They worship other gods. They don't even know who is the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Here, there is a real wall. And what is Jesus going to do? He's going to break the wall. Okay, I'm going to say this again, and it's a good spot for you to say amen. There is a real wall. not a tradition one, not a virtual one, not a nonsense one. There is a real wall. Paganism, weird God, weird practices. And Jesus is going to break that wall to save this lady. Okay, now you're ready for the sermon. Let us see. First thing that you notice here, church, it is the approach of the lady, and Jesus gives her the silent treatment. And you saw this in the very first couple of verses. A Canaanite woman came because she heard of Jesus, and she called him, and Jesus gave her no answer. No answer. Few things important to notice here of her first approach, church. You want to answer the question, why did Jesus give her the silent treatment? That's not usual. God is a God who answers our prayers. He invites you to pray. He's a living God. The idols are mute. Our God speaks. So it's weird that Jesus is giving her the silent treatment. Okay? So you want to know why. But before we answer that, I want you to pay attention and put yourself in this lady's shoes. Okay? She heard of Jesus on a distant land. This man, he makes miracles. He forgives sins. He changes people's lives. But she's distant. Her God doesn't do that. She cannot go to Israel. Our borders are closed, you know? Have you heard this on the news? Our borders are closed. Don't come here. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. She can't go there. So this hope / anxiety / I don't know if I ever gonna have a chance that my daughter be healed. It's boiling on her. So now you understand when Jesus shows up, she goes after him crazy. It's her only chance. She won't have a second. Okay? Now you understand her faith and her approach. And she approached Jesus calling him the Son of David, which is correct. Son of David means you are the Christ. You are the Lord. You are the Savior. You are the one that was prophesied, and I need to put my hope in you. She also approached Jesus from afar. And this is important, church. She's coming from paganism, and Jesus is the truth. She is a sinner, like everybody else, and Jesus is holy. She is approaching Jesus correctly. And Jesus gives her the silent treatment. Why? Why? The answer, church, is simple. Even though she's saying the correct words, Jesus is trying to avoid here something important, syncretism. Okay, I'm going to say this again because I struggle with words that has ism on it. Syncretism. Everybody knows what I said? What is syncretism? It's when you get the truth and you start to put weird practices on it. I believe in Jesus, and I came from a weird religion. And what do I do now? I have Jesus plus my weird religion all in the same place. And that's what Jesus is avoiding. Jesus is giving her the silent treatment. Why? If Jesus had answered her there, she would go back to her country and put Jesus inside her paganism. out of the many gods that she worships, she would only add Jesus, and Jesus is only another God among many. Are you understanding now why Jesus is giving her this silent treatment? You will understand who I am. You will understand what it's the truth. I will walk you down to verse 28. When you truly understand who I am, my power, and the truth shall set you free. That's what Jesus is doing to her. So here it is, the first approach. Jesus gave her the silent treatment for that reason. So moving forward, and here it is, the second approach, the intercession. I'm not sure if I put that word correctly. The word intercession is that word we like to use for prayer. I'm going to pray on your behalf. I'm going to intercede on your behalf to God. That's the idea there, okay? I want you to see, church, verse 23. His disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." Church, I'll tell you how is the business world. So here it is, the CEO of the company, he's busy. He cannot waste his time with weird emails. The emails that come to the CEO must be purposeful. Okay, this needs my attention and my action. So when you email that great company, that email comes to the admin, to the clerk, to the secretary. And what is the job of the admin, secretary, and clerk? It is to filter the email and send it to the CEO. Okay, this email is important. It needs to come to the CEO. Okay, this email is not important. No reply. Are you following me? That's the way the business world things happen. This lady here, church, she's trying to reach out to the rabbi. She's trying to reach out to the CEO. I have a question for you. Is Jesus capable of healing? Does he love to heal? Is Jesus a PhD on expelling demons out of people? Why on earth are the disciples, instead of interceding for the lady, are telling Jesus to send her away? What did she ask? Healing. What did the disciples do? Send her away. And now you're going to remember last sermon. What happened last sermon? Traditions. The leaders of Israel. People are close to God. God wants to connect to people. No. We're going to put a barrier between God and the people. Unless you wash, unless you follow the traditions, you come. If you don't follow my traditions, here is the door, go away. Same spirit in the disciples of Christ. She's not one of us. Kick her out. In the name of what? In the name of religion. kick her out. That same weird spirit playing the hearts of the disciples of Christ. And it's here, church, that Jesus opened his mouth. Jesus gave her the silent treatment. But now that his disciples are talking nonsense, Jesus now needs to intervene. And he gives her a word. He tells her in verse 24, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. You may not realize this, church, but Jesus is speaking because he wants her around. My dear, don't leave. Stay close. My dear, don't leave. Don't even listen to my disciples. I am about to teach my disciples a lesson. I'm not in the business of creating barriers. I'm in the business of connecting, saving, and changing people's lives. And my disciples, they're going to learn this right now. That's what Jesus is doing. Say amen if you are understanding it. So moving forward, you think Jesus is working on her. Jesus is working on her plus the disciples, church. Third approach is the diplomatic answer. And church, this is what I just read for you. Verse 24, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. This is the diplomatic answer, okay? And the woman, verse 25, she knelt before him, but worshiping him, and she said, Lord, help me. Okay. So I want you to understand these two things. You see how Jesus is working on her heart. Now her claim became action. She knelt. Now Jesus is no longer one God among many gods in her pagan religion. Now she's forgetting her paganism and all other gods she believes, and she's kneeling before the true God, Jesus Christ. But here is the catch, church, and just for you, you know she understands what Jesus is doing to her, that Jesus is keeping her around, that Jesus is inviting her closer, not doing what the disciples want him to do. You understand that she knows that because she approached Jesus. As soon as she heard Jesus speaking to her, she came close and she worshiped him. But here it is, what it's intriguing about this passage. It's because Jesus spoke to her the diplomatic answer. I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. I would love to help you. I just can't. You know? And Leo, you want to know what it's weird about the diplomatic answer? It's usually a no. I always tell my teenager guys, when you come to the girl and say, I like you, and the girl, the teenager girl says, I like you too, you are my friend, forget it. I like you too. You are my brother in Christ. Forget it. Who knows what I'm talking about? Right? Yeah. The diplomatic answer is no. You are cute, but no. Go find someone else. And then the Christian guy, he cries and cries and cries and cries and cries. Anyways, that's the diplomatic answer. It is? No. In a nice way. So as soon as Jesus gives her the diplomatic answer, what would you expect? That she understood that this is a no. He will not bless me. He wish he could, but he will not. But remember, church, Jesus goes beyond the walls. He doesn't use the book as an excuse to not bless people. He knows the meaning of the book. I'm going to bless you. Don't worry, I'm going to bless you. And this lady also knows the meaning of the book. She's going to get her blessing. And that's the last and fourth approach. Finally, she gets what she was looking for. And even more than what she was looking for. The fourth approach is the treat from Christ is enough. As long after she knelt before him and she adored him, verse 26, Jesus says to her, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." Very important for you to understand, dogs and puppies are two different things. Here in Canada, you don't have a church, what probably they have in Israel and what we have in Brazil a lot, street dogs. Okay? There is the street dog and there is the puppy. The puppy, some people treat them like family, right? Yeah. You spend $5,000 on your puppy and you give it $10 to the guy on the street, right? Our values. Anyways, let us go back. So puppy and dogs are different, church. Why is Jesus calling this lady a dog, which in the original it's puppy? To the disciples of Christ in the room, this lady is a dog. Street dog. That's how they talk about other religion. Pagan? Dog. Not from Israel? Dog. Not from my tradition? Dog. That's the mindset of the disciples. So Jesus gets that word and say, puppies. Not outside. Inside. And what do we do to the puppies? We give them a treat. We feed them. And as soon as Jesus said that to her and to the disciples, she said, "I want the treat. The treat is enough. If whatever comes from the table, if you, the bread of life, do this, is enough for me." And then Jesus looks at her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." Church, this is the first person to understand a parable. Jesus spoke 42 parables in the Gospels. She's the first one to understand it. The religious people, the disciples, they think they can sit on the table. And they don't realize that blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When you are before the holy and perfect God, you don't dare to sit at the table. You sit at his feet. You don't demand. You accept. You don't argue. You just obey. The people of Israel, the bread of life in front of them, not enough. Jesus makes thousands of miracles. We want one more. We demand a sign. This lady does what all of us should be doing. You are the Holy One. We bow before you. If you want to take us and put us at the table, that's grace. You are the Lord, not I am. She understood the parable. What the people of Israel were slow to understand. And sometimes I caught myself not understanding this truth. Demanding from God. Arguing with God. You must bless me. This can't happen to me. It may be okay to happen to someone else, but not me. I'm your son. I am this. I am that. Yes or no? Before the Holy One, church, we sit at His feet. And don't worry, He puts you on the table. Don't worry. That's not the issue. The table is not the issue. The issue is the heart. So she understood the parable. She came on His feet. She's saved. Her daughter is saved. When you get to heaven, who are you going to find there? Her. If had Jesus gave her everything she asked for in the first approach, she would receive just a blessing. But because Jesus walked her all the way to the end, she got more than a blessing. She gets salvation. So with that being said, let us see our conclusion here. The three things we can learn with this lady, church, and the next slide, it's a slide I really want you to try to memorize because it's life-changing, okay? The next one, not this one. Our conclusion here. First of all, raise your hand, the moms and great moms in the house. Raise your hand, moms and great moms. I don't even want to look at you because I don't want to make this personal, but pay attention to this. This is an encouragement to all of you who pray for the salvation of your own kids. Okay? This is an encouragement. If you want to learn from someone, this is your lady. She fought for her daughter. This is not the stage, the way my daughter is going to be. And I do remember my mom. My mom prayed for me. What a stubborn kid. She prayed. And you need to go to church. This wasn't the way I raised you. That was my mom. Praise God. Be encouraged. Learn from this lady. Second thing we learn, I already told you. The religious people of Israel did not receive the bread of life. This lady received the tree of life. The people of Israel demand, try to deserve. I have been here first. It is my way. Blah, blah, blah. This lady, she did not demand, she did not deserve, she did not give up, she only humbled herself before the mighty hand of the Lord. And the God who resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble, He blessed her. And finally, the last thing I want you to remember, faith in things fade, but faith in Christ persevere. perseveres. There is something beautiful here. When we talk about faith, people go to this situational questions. Oh, if I pray for this for 30 years and it doesn't happen, now does that mean my faith is not enough? Does that mean God doesn't want to happen? Does that mean blah, blah, blah? Church, that's not the point. This lady and this text tells you that your faith is not on things, not on circumstances. Your faith is in Christ. And because your faith is in Christ, your faith should never give up. You believe in Him today more than you believed in Him yesterday. Next Sunday, when we gather here, you need to believe in Him more than this Sunday. Your faith doesn't fade. That's the true faith. It is not on things, it is in Christ. So I want you to pay attention to this next slide from Charles Spurgeon. And he is going to teach you how the brain of this lady works, because it works different from our brain. She approached Jesus and Jesus did not reply. She said to herself, "That's great. I did not get a no." Second approach, Jesus did reply to her harshly. She said to herself, "That's great. I got a word. Next thing you know, I will get a deed." Jesus called her a puppy. She said to herself, "That's great. A pup is part of the family. Now I will get my treat." With such a faith, the master will surely bless her. Right? I pray that same approach to Jesus for us. Amen.